Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned coffee company, company serving premium coffee to people who love America. BlackRifleCoffee.com, code HERD. That code gets you 20% off their coffee club. It's good to have you in today. Bucky Brooks is a scout, a former corner. He's going to join us now live. Fox Sports NFL analyst. It's interesting. Matt Rhule and Urban Meyer are right out of college. They have a very good understanding of personnel. Urban got a lot of heat for taking the running back from Clemson. And my takeaway was, I don't believe in this bell cow running back thing. Like, I think you need two running backs. Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. Zeke gets hurt. So overall, Bucky, what did you make of what Urban did with his first pick and the rest of the draft?
I love what Urban Meyer did, because I think Urban Meyer followed the Warren Buffett principle when it comes to investing. Invest in brand names, invest in blue chips. When you look at this history, Urban Meyer got a bunch of 4- and 5-star recruits that he knew about from his college days. He also went and got 8 out of 9 of the draftees were guys from Power 5 conferences. I want the best players that play at the best schools against the best competition, so I know exactly what I have. And when you have that, and guys coming from winning programs, when you're beginning to change the culture, you know exactly what you have. Urban Meyer has done this formula everywhere. When you go and look at Florida and Ohio State, he took talented players and taught them how to win. He's not into necessarily taking guys and I'm going to develop this guy and develop that guy. No, give me the talent. I will get it going in the right direction. That's what he did very, very early during his first draft in Jacksonville.
Both Cincinnati and Miami said, hey, we're going to go get a wide receiver who played with our young quarterback in college. And I thought, that's interesting. Your thoughts on that?
I really like that trend. Don't forget, Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith also played together in Alabama. And so what I like about this is, with all the uncertainty on OTAs and off-season program and how much time you can get to work together, you have now given these young quarterbacks someone that they're familiar with. Joe Burrow knows Ja'Marr Chase. He knows where he likes to football. He knows how he runs routes. He understands the timing on certain routes when it comes to Ja'Marr Chase, because they've thrown those routes 1,000 times during their time together at LSU. The same thing with Tua and Jalen Waddle. He knows them, Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith. And so as we think about quarterbacks, it's about pairing them up with familiarity. Because remember, Jacksonville also took Travis Etienne from Clemson to go with Trevor Lawrence. It is about, how can I support the young quarterback? How can I make the young quarterback comfortable? Part of that is by bringing along a playmate, someone that he understands how to play with because he's been in the sandbox with them.
We know that Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are going to play day one. We think Trey Lance is going to have a long runway to learn the system in San Francisco. Mac Jones probably doesn't start day one either, but that's speculation. So when you kind of look at all these guys, play now, play later, then there's Justin Fields. So how long do you wait? You know, Joy and I talked about this earlier. He's obviously a much more dynamic athlete than Andy Dalton. And by the way, Matt Nagy won with Trubisky. So he's pretty good with young quarterbacks. And Trubisky, if you recall, had 1 year starting. Justin Fields has a lot of college starts. How long do you wait? I'm a Bears fan this morning. I'm sitting around thinking, you know, we go 1-3. We got the Packers on deck. How long of the runway do you give Justin Fields? How long does he sit?
It depends on Justin Fields and how quickly he picks up everything. It also depends on when he shows the wow factor. Does that happen in training camp? Does that happen in 1 or 2 preseason games? Justin Fields will let the Bears know when it's time to put him on the field. If he never has that deer in a headlight, look, if it doesn't appear to be too big for him, you put him out there. This is a guy that played on a big stage. He played in plenty of big games, and he's built to play in Chicago. Tough, blue-collar type player. he is going to be a guy who has an opportunity to be a superstar in that city. It's really about Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor building an offense around his talent. I think he plays sooner rather than later. I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a move and maybe end up as the day one starter if he shows the talent and shows that he's ready for it in training camp.
Yeah, you know, I don't doubt it. So, you know, they call them red flags. Is that, as you know, having been in war rooms, I've only been in one once, that many players will get, they'll be off the board. They're undraftable. They've got a medical issue. They've got what they call red flags, personality, or some serious stuff. Some people are okay drafting them. Others aren't. Dallas drafted a few guys that had a little baggage. They got two linebackers, and I didn't think they needed linebackers at all, but, you know, they were available. What did you make overall, heavy defensive draft, and the fact that there were some flags on some of their guys? Does that bother you at all?
No, so there are a couple different things to think about. One, they went – the first six picks were all defense. The defense was really the Achilles heel of the team last year. They needed to fix that. They needed to be a more athletic and more dynamic defense. More importantly, Dan Quinn comes over, and he wants a defense that plays hard, that plays tough, that has some grit and maybe a dog mentality. Well, the only way you're going to get that, Colin, is you got to take guys that embody those qualities. And so sometimes when you're dealing with defensive players, you're going to get some guys that have a little stuff with them. And so it depends on who the leader is. And the leader is Dan Quinn. And if you go all the way back to Seattle, when Seattle played great defense, they had some guys that kind of towed the line with their personalities. It is all about the guy who is the coach, who's comfortable dealing with those kinds of players. I think for Dan Quinn, he is very comfortable dealing with that. And I think, let's be honest, they needed to kind of spike the punch a little bit in Dallas. Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, they played okay, but they haven't played well since 2018.
Yeah.
And so when you get Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox, you're trying to bring more speed, more athleticism, more toughness, more playmaking ability. Also, don't remember this. Last year we had a conversation where we talked about, hey, man, Dallas is not playing hard. Well, the only way to get your defense to play hard is to bring a bunch of guys that play hard. And that's what the Cowboys did. And so it's one of those things that we will see when it plays out. But I don't mind having a little edginess and feistiness on defense. Offense, you kind of like them a little more cerebral and under control. On defense, you want a group of dogs. And I think they have a collection of dogs that they brought to Dallas.
Well, you were a defensive guy. You don't have a lot of dog. You're very refined and sophisticated. Maybe you should have been a receiver, Bucky.
I was a receiver. They moved me over every now and then. You have to learn to have that dog mentality. Sometimes that can be taught a little bit.
Okay. So overall, your thoughts on what the Niners did, the whole story. It was Mac Jones. What is it, a smoke screen? Then it's Trey Lance. How did it all land for you?
Hey, look, man, it landed exactly how I thought it would be. It had to be one of the athletic guys, either Trey Lance or Justin Fields. The reason why Trey Lance is the perfect fit is because, Colin, going back to watching him over the summer last year, I was like, man, this dude is like a top five player. When you watched him, that one season, the big season, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions. He ran for 1,100 yards. And I know they're saying, hey, he's playing against a bunch of accountants and lawyers and those guys. But look, he put up big-time performances at a school that also produced Carson Wentz and Easton Stick, two guys that are pros. For me, this is about Kyle Shanahan becoming more dynamic in the running game. We've seen this running game. Remember, 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game, I think Jimmy Garoppolo threw five passes, and they absolutely ran through the Packers with the running game. Imagine what Kyle Shanahan can do now that he has a legitimate runner at quarterback. Not just the zone read game, but someone that can come out the back door on the bootleg. You're already scared to death of this outside zone run that they run with Raheem Mostert and all these other guys. Now that you have another threat back there, man, they go from great to exceptional potentially on the ground. I know they want to take time before he gets on the field, but if Jimmy Garoppolo leaves the door cracked, I wouldn't be surprised to see Trey Lance walk through it and become the starting quarterback middle of the season next year and never give that job back.
All right. Our dog, Bucky Brooks. He's got a lot of dog. All right. Good seeing you.
All right. We'll see you, Colin.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
When the Bucks drafted Florida quarterback Kyle Trask at the end of the second round.
Yeah.
However,
what?
They made very sure Tom Brady was aware that's what they were doing.
Oh, they did.
To Peter Schrager, Bruce Arians said Brady had been kept in the loop on the team's plan to draft a quarterback for weeks, and he also knew that Trask was going to be the pick. Trask said it's truly remarkable that he'll be able to learn from Brady, who was one of his favorites growing up. I also think this is a good move for Tampa. Kyle Trask played to Florida, a little two-hour drive away.
Yeah.
So have a little fan base when he does get the opportunity in, say, 2 years to get out there. And, you know, I think he was drafted in the appropriate place. He still felt a little raw and needs some time to develop. And we know Brady's not giving that spot up any time soon, at least not this year. So I thought this was a really smart draft by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is the way to do it, not the Jordan Love way. This is the way to do it, which is keep your quarterback in the loop. You know, I thought they may go first round, but they ended up getting Joe Tryon, who's a really good edge rusher. So there was just too many good players. They weren't going to give up a pick. But, I mean, listen, quarterback matters, and the reality is you're going to give this guy 2 years to learn the system. Let's say he's not what you think. All right, he's a real good backup, and you go get one.
Yeah, and it's a second-round pick. It's completely appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that situation that didn't play out exactly the same way, Green Bay, tensions are very high between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers right now. There are numerous reports that Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Matt LaFleur doesn't want to think about the possibility of him leaving the team.
Yeah, I bet.
I can't even take my brain to that spot right now. So I just want to do everything in my power to ensure that that doesn't happen. I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. So that's where my mind's at. I don't only love the player, but I love the person. I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do, from the players in that locker room to the coaching staff. And I don't even want to let my mind go there.
I don't know what this says about me, but I'm 100% on Aaron Rodgers' side.
It's okay.
I just have absolutely no sympathy for the Packers. Zero. I can't even pretend to have sympathy for them. I don't. First of all, you're in a talent-based business, right? So sometimes people are not agreeable. Them's the breaks.
Yeah.
He won you a Super Bowl, and he's going to go down as one of the top 10, maybe top 5 quarterbacks of all time, and you currently have him on your team. Just make him happy, man. Just do it. That's it. What do you think you're going to get another Aaron Rodgers? Obviously, you don't. Or you would have moved off him this year because you traded up to get Jordan Love and he's not ready to play yet. And this isn't like shade towards Jordan Love. It just wasn't the right pick. You were just in the NFC Championship game. You were 13-3. Why are you trading up for a quarterback? I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers. His play is sliding. He won MVP last year.
Yeah.
Like this is all on the Green Bay Packers. Well, I have literally zero sympathy for how they've handled this.
Think of this. Tom Brady's 44 next year. And the Bucs chose a quarterback in the second round. Aaron was 36, I think, last year at the start of the year, 36-ish. So like 8 years younger, and you moved up in the first round to get somebody who may evaluate higher athletically but didn't win a bunch of football games in college.
You did not need a quarterback.
Right.
And on top of that, you didn't communicate with Aaron Rodgers about it.
But for the record, the team a little bit in the middle is Atlanta. So Atlanta, now Matt's had no injuries, younger than Aaron, but they passed on a couple of really highly coveted quarterbacks who grade much higher than Jordan Love did a year ago, and Atlanta went player. Because Atlanta's takeaway is we've got to get more explosive offensively and defensively.
I don't know. I can't, like him saying he can't take his brain to that spot. Like when you took Jordan Love, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? It's like the guy that has the beautiful supermodel wife and he like completely stops taking her out on dates.
Boom.
Stops buying her flowers and like doesn't compliment her at all. And then goes and hires like a beautiful 19-year-old secretary. Like, and then he's confused why she's mad and going out with her girlfriends all the time. Like, what did you think? What did you think was going
to
happen?
I'm not great with the flowers, but I'm very I take my wife to dinner at least 3 days a week. How's that?
That is significant. I would say that's
boom,
that's
fellas.
A lot.
Uncle Colin taking care of Ann.
Those are a lot of date nights. That's good. So Luka got two technicals last night And the Mavs won 111-99 loss to the Kings.
Didn't see this game. Tell me about it.
Well, it came in the second quarter. He disagreed with the ref on an offensive foul call. And then the second one came with less than a minute remaining when he tossed the ball during a timeout. And that led to an ejection. So he now has 15 technical fouls.
No, he complains.
Yes, this is standard.
Yeah, he complains a lot.
Yes. Well, he has 15 technical fouls. So he has one shy of an automatic suspension. So after the game, Luka told reporters, don't worry, I won't get another one. But, I mean... He's a complainer, and that's significant. They are fifth in the West right now at 36-28. So they're pretty close with the Lakers and the Blazers. So they can't afford to have Luka out on suspension for any of these games because they don't want to wind up in the seventh seed in the play-in tournament.
I'm trying to think of a player. Rasheed Wallace jumps to mind. That gets this many technicals. Now, I don't have the data in front of
Draymond.
Me. Yeah, but Draymond...
Because Draymond got suspended in the finals.
Yeah, you're right. But Luka and Sheed are great offensive players. Those guys don't always feel like technical guys. Like, I get the Lambeers and the Draymonds.
Yeah.
They're in constant physical altercations. They're provoke guys. Those kind of guys get technicals. Generally, guys that average 30... are getting a lot of calls and a lot of points. You'd be happy. You just scored another basket. Like, rarely do you get great offensive players who get this many tees. Sheed and Luka jump out to me. Is there anybody else I'm missing here? We'll look it up. Technical guys are tough guys.
Yeah.
Rodman. Draymond.
Right.
I mean, they're feisty guys.
Luka has something to say about a lot, which is why he's in this situation.
Yeah.
They really need to be careful. Like, they can't afford to lose him in a suspension for a game with these last few games and wind up in the play-in tournament.
No question. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd.
Oh, we just got Alex in my ear. Karl Malone's another guy. He was another complainer. Oh, Karl Malone never stopped complaining. You know, Magic was a complainer. Magic was a but Magic had
but
that
Magic,
smile.
Yeah, Magic was
everybody's
smile,
like,
oh, yeah.
Magic smile at me. I can't give him a tea. Karl Malone was growling about something every time down the floor. All right, I'm handing out my NFL draft awards coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grilling season is here. Celebrate with ButcherBox.com/herd. Order it today. You get 3 pounds of chicken breast, 2 pounds of pork chops, 2 pounds of ground beef for free. ButcherBox.com/herd. Okay, Joy. We're going to do, in best for last, our draft awards. Best and worst of several things. Here we go.
Who wins the award for best chance to succeed? Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones?
The award goes to Trey Lance. First of all, he doesn't have to start. Garoppolo does. Secondly, he arguably has the best offensive coach of all those players. Third, their offensive line was ranked top 10 last year, and they added to it in the draft. And fourth, they have a running game. So if he did have to play early, it's a very run-centric offense. Here's the keys to the Mercedes. Just don't run it into a tree. As long as he doesn't have to start before Thanksgiving, this is really lined up, as we said before the draft, for any quarterback to flourish in this system if they don't have to start day one.
Who wins the award for best quarterback wide receiver reunion? Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, Jalen Waddle and Tua Tagovailoa, or Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts?
I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. First of all, he caught 20 of Joe Burrow's record-breaking 60 touchdown passes in 2019. Mm. So they weren't good, they were spectacular. Also, the Bengals were near the bottom of the NFL last year. Bengals receivers averaged 10.2 yards per reception. So Ja'Marr Chase is going to be asked immediately to be their big play guy. Now they have T. Higgins on the other side, but he doesn't have the same body type and expectation. So he will be asked in a kind of a pass-centric offense, make big plays.
Who wins the award for biggest steal? Justin Fields, Elijah Moore, Micah Parsons, or Rashawn Slater?
Rashawn Slater dropped to 13th.
Yeah.
And many had him as the best left tackle. He can play left tackle. He can play right tackle. He's going to step in to a roster that's a top six or seven roster. Last time he played in 2019, he took 355 snaps, did not allow a sack. So here's a kid that walks in. This is a machine ready to roll, can play both sides. And the Chargers were patient. They didn't move up. They didn't give anything up. This kid went 13th. Many had him as like the fifth to sixth best player in the draft.
I liked his post-draft interview too. He was so excited.
He was.
All right, who wins the award for biggest smoke screen? 49ers drafting Mac Jones, the Broncos drafting a quarterback, the Falcons drafting a quarterback, or the Panthers drafting a quarterback?
Niners drafting Mac Jones. So let me get this straight. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, no leaks in 3 years. And Mac Jones, every third day, there was a massive leak to, like, ESPN. I didn't buy it. I think initially they may have liked him, but I don't necessarily know that they moved up to third because they had one guy. It's very possible they had two or three. But I said before, I mean, the last couple of days I said, yeah, they're probably taking Mac Jones. But it felt so weird to me that the Niners, very private and quiet, have made all these big moves. Nothing leaks. And this thing leaked every third day. It never really felt right. And by the way, I think they made the right move, not taking Mac Jones.
Who wins the award for best quarterback selection after the first round? The Bucs with Kyle Trask, Vikings with Kellen Mond, the Texans with Davis Mills, or the Saints with Ian Book?
Well, none of them are going to play. I will say this, Kyle Trask will inherit a good O-line, running backs, unbelievable tight ends and wide receivers. So if you're asking me who inherits the best situation, he doesn't have to play for 2 years. They are loaded. He's got a GM who's shown an ability to draft as well as anybody in the National Football League. So that's the perfect situation. Whereas Kellen Mond in a year may have to play with a defensive head coach in a division where Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields, there's some competition there.
Who wins the award for best Alabama pick? Dolphins, Jalen Waddle, the Broncos with Patrick Surtain, the Eagles with Devontae Smith, or the Patriots with Mac Jones?
I actually like Patrick Surtain to the Broncos. First of all, his dad played for 11 years in the NFL. When dad plays for a decade in the league, you got good genetics. Secondly, this kid didn't miss a start at Alabama, and he was great in big games. And so I think they went and got Kyle Fuller at the other corner. He's not going to be asked to be the guy, so not going to be a ton of pressure. Dad played, never gets hurt. SEC's got the best wide receivers, so he's one of those can't-miss guys.
Who wins the award for hardest draft to evaluate? The Cowboys, Giants, Packers, or Raiders?
Cowboys by a mile. Micah Parsons is talented, but he's a one-year starter with red flags, had maturity issues in high school and college. Then they go get Kelvin Joseph from Kentucky. He's got a budding rap career and had maturity issues, transferred out of LSU, went to Kentucky. They now have a crowded linebacking core, which was the one part of their defense I actually liked. But they have Jabril Cox and Micah Parsons and Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. Now, Sean Lee just called it a career. But, you know, it could be a good draft, but that felt like some reaches. Linebacking core is a little overcrowded, and they just took some big swings.
Who wins the award for least enthusiastic war room? Eagles, Packers, Raiders, or the Texans?
I think this is the Packers. First of all, their first pick was weird. They got the second best corner from Georgia. That was their first pick. By the way, Urban Meyer, you know, next day, got the best corner from Georgia. you could see a lot of, you know, bro hugs and high fives and all the other war rooms. Then they took a picture of the Packers, and it looked like, a morgue.
A little bleak. I mean, like, only decaf coffee in there. Who wins the award for the best draft moments? Browns, well, Macho Man,
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle sneaking out of the draft room. Mac Jones walk to the stage or Micah Parsons hug with Roger Goodell?
Well, I like emotion, so I'll give Micah Parsons love, the hug to Roger Goodell. By the way, having a 260-pound guy jump on you is not...
I was very impressed.
And you got dress shoes on?
Yeah.
A slick surface?
He's not going down.
Listen, this is why the draft is fun. You get kids from all different backgrounds, and some had great support in high school and college, and some didn't. I mean, Najee Harris, that story is amazing. He was in a homeless shelter
that him and his family lived in when they were growing up.
Yeah, so it's but this is good. This is what it's all about. I really do, and I've told you this, Joy. I think the NFL does one of the things I really appreciate, like in baseball, and I'm not trying to bang on baseball, but they have a base runner issue and activity problem, right? Like more strikeouts, more home runs. There's no base runners. Fewer hits every year last 3 or 4 years. They are not addressing it. The NFL, even on stuff that's good, the draft was always good. We're going to put it in cities.
Yeah.
Like the draft is a great example of why the NFL is king. Not just their dilemmas. They'll take stuff that's already excellent and go, you know what we're going to do with the draft? We're going to go to Cleveland. And you watch it and you're like, God, this is great.
It made me so happy. Like last year was, a special draft we'll always remember because it was our first live thing in the pandemic.
And
everyone's homes. But it was so nice to see all the fans. Everyone was so excited and just like it felt normal.
Yeah. Smart businesses make corrections when things are good.
Yeah.
You don't have to change your golf clubs just when your game stinks. You could tweak it when your game is good. And I think the NFL, the draft was already rocking, and I thought they just made it better. The fans are fun. I like having the fans there. Hot water that never runs out. Go tankless with Navien. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. Speak for yourself is around the corner for Ryan and Joy and everybody here. Live in Los Angeles. Great to have you in. Monday after the draft, it's the Herd.